We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just like when he played, Ben Roethlisberger gets the first word on the Steelers games before the coach. Used to be right here on The Fan with Ron. Now it's through the Footballin' podcast that Ben has. We're going to hear some of this, but one clip we don't have that was a good one. I'll just paraphrase Ron. Roethlisberger on the quarterback change says, "I was really surprised. To me, the whole offense was stagnant. I didn't think it was Mitch." What do you make of that?
I agree totally, but the first line, the whole offense was stagnant. You got to do something to maybe cause the change, to change that, and Pickett energized him by bringing it. I don't think Trubisky played poorly in that first half, but they had scored 6 points. It was a miracle, I use the word again, that they got the second field goal. Should have been 10-3.
Yeah.
That guy took the roughing the pass needlessly.
Yeah.
So they should have scored 3 points. They got 6. I think, it was not all Trubisky's fault, but the offense was stagnant, and that's usually when a change is made.
Right. I mean, the quarterback has to have something to do with a stagnant offense.
Absolutely.
Even if it's not blatant mistakes, it might be, omission, things he's not doing to get the offense going. So I disagree with Ben there that he went on to say you didn't need to make that change. He said, in my opinion, I don't know that it needed to happen. I think it did need to happen.
Yeah, I think so too.
And the quarterback, one way or another, when an offense is dead, a quarterback almost always has something to do with that. As to being surprised, he said he was really surprised. I'm trying to think what my honest emotion was.
Not really.
I was surprised because I thought Tomlin was more convicted on Trubisky than to take him out after what wasn't a horrible half for him. It was just sort of, what have you been doing?
It's funny.
I was surprised to see Pickett.
It's funny because I was one of the first guys to notice. I think I might have been the first guy, at least in my end of the press box. I noticed Pickett had his helmet on talking to Sully. Trubisky had his hat on, baseball cap on. I walked over to another guy sitting right not far from me. I go, "Look, you don't think, do you?" He goes, "No way." And then it happened. It happened. I mean,
wow.
There was some surprise that it happened.
I was surprised that you said
you were surprised that you thought he was going to be a little more committed to Trubisky. But it was just, I noticed it right away. Pickett had his helmet on. Why would Sully be talking to
Sully,
him?
That's a bad sign for Mitch.
You know, and it happened. And then, the crowd slowly saw it. The Jets got the ball to start the second half. And you could see Pickett still had his helmet on and Trubisky had his ball cap on. And you could feel it growing, the crowd, the sense, the buzz.
Headline here to abruptly break off, but Loretta Lynn has died at 90 years old. What a great movie that was. Coal Miner's Daughter. And what an incredible life story she had. Loretta Lynn dies at 90 years old.
We all should be so lucky to live to 90.
I love that movie. Anyway, back to Ben. And let's hear some other things that Ben had to say on the Footballin' podcast, Folsy.
Well, we're talking about predictable offense. He had some other thoughts about this being a predictable offense.
You know, it just seems like you can't be a predictable offense. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that they are, but it feels like when I'm hearing from guys and whatever, it's like we've got to do some different. Like, I'd like to see them just, let's drop back and pass a little more.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just a quarterback talking about wanting to pass.
No,
a little bit, but
I feel
second
the same
down,
way.
Like let's throw the ball a little bit. Let's throw it on first, second, and third down. Let's see what happens. Or throw four or five in a row. Like just getting to, as a quarterback, you want to get into a rhythm.
Right.
And whether that's a 3 yard pass or down the field, like if you're constantly handing it, and then you get to throw on third down, and then you go back to handing it. And I get it; he's a rookie; he just came in. But even Mitch, you want to get into some sort of rhythm. Like once you get into a rhythm, it's any sport. Basketball, baseball, hockey. If you're in some sort of a rhythm, you're going to play better.
Yeah.
If you're constantly going up and down where you can't find that rhythm, then it's going to be hard. Because then when your number is called, you're expected to deliver, and it's like, okay, now it's third and eight. We got to get this one. I haven't thrown a pass in like four plays. I felt, you have to, or a drop back pass. You have to get it figured out.
You know he's going to want to throw it. Yeah, I love it. Throw it first down, second down, third down.
Right.
But he acknowledged it. It's a quarterback talking, you know. They weren't just handing it off, though. They were throwing it.
Yes. I mean, hold on a second here. This is Rich coming from him. You can't be a predictable offense. They had the most predictable offense in the league the last 2 years. Once with Fichtner, once with Canada. It was going to be a bunch of quick passes, not down the middle. They became incredibly predictable to the point where Washington and Baltimore were calling out their plays before they happened. That's how predictable they were. And then when he says, Ron, it seems he says you can't be a predictable offense. I'm not saying they are.
But he
yes,
is.
You are yes, saying you are.
Yeah,
that.
Of course.
I want Ben on this podcast to be less, to just lose any appearance.
Any inhibitions.
Yes. Any appearance of political correctness and just start ripping people, because you were anyway. And he's right. He's right about that part. But also, what about, I'm sure Najee would tell you, running back likes to get in a rhythm too.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no rhythm for them. Having said all that, this is pretty good stuff.
I thought the play was mixed the other day for both Pickett and Trubisky. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it was a balanced offense, if we will. Not a very good offense, but a balanced offense.
Yeah, I thought so. Folsy?
All right, another Ben clip here. This is Ben on Kenny Pickett's second interception, the one to Pat Freiermuth.
I mean, the last interception, he drifted a little bit, which I thought he did a good job of getting away from the pressure. And he even said, he goes, I kind of tried to throw it out there to Pat. And you're giving Pat a chance. Pat's a playmaker. And he said, he goes, I probably should have thrown it away. And it's of course, it's easy to say that now. Right. If he completes it, you'd have been like, oh, great play.
Right.
So we've all had those. Anybody that's played quarterback in this league for any amount of time will have those times when you're like, I should have. Yeah. I wish I would have. But you know what? You can't live in those fears. You got to go play the game and go out there. And it looks bad. But at the end of the day, if he plays his game for a long time, he's going to have more opportunities to go both directions.
Okay. That's pretty much my feeling.
It's not mine.
He took a chance. Probably should have thrown it away. He said that afterwards.
I thought he said, I need to either make it so Pat catches it or it goes out of bounds. And I thought that's exactly the throw he delivered. Either Pat catches that or it goes out of bounds. Somehow, miraculously, it went off Pat's hands and back into the field of play.
Back into the field of play.
Here's where I disagree with Ben. If he completes it, everyone says, great play. No, they don't.
It was been a one-yard game.
A one-yard play.
Second and 15.
I think if you could have frozen time right when he was about to release it, I would have said, Kenny, this isn't worth it. It's a tiny window over there. You make a bad throw here. It's right in somebody else's hands. This is not worth it.
And the guy was bearing down on him.
Throw it away or take a sack or do something other than throw it there. Now, if you turn on the tape and the throw is actually going over there, I mean, it did what he wanted it to do. In my opinion, it was actually a very accurate throw. If the idea was either Freiermuth gets this or nobody does, that's what it was. It was off Freiermuth's hands way up in the air. So the actual throw.
Should it just been an inch or two lower, would he have made the catch?
Maybe lower. Maybe
higher. It would have been, if it was any higher, it would have gone out of bounds.
Right, and that wouldn't have been a bad thing. No. I thought for what he described afterward, it was right where it needed to be. Either Pat gets it on a spectacular catch or nobody does. And I thought it was weird that the ball caromed off his hands to the other team.
I was the guy who asked the question. I said, on the throw to Freiermuth, I said, do you wish you'd have got it higher, or were you trying to throw it away? And he goes, yeah, and that's when he said, you know, only he catches it or it goes out of bounds. You know, maybe if it had been a little bit lower, Freiermuth makes that catch. Would have been a spectacular catch if he caught it, I thought.
Anything else, Falsey?
Yes, one last one on Mitch Trubisky being a little frustrated after the game.
I heard, again, I am not on the social media and all this stuff, but I heard that some of the media or people were kind of giving Mitch some flack for his post-game presser.
What?
And for like maybe being short with his answers. What do you expect? Like, give the man a break.
Come on, man.
He just got pulled at halftime, and people have been chanting for Kenny for weeks now.
Come on.
Don't give that guy grief because he feels like he's frustrated or maybe he wants to do better. Like, come on. Like,
man.
That's ridiculous. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. It's just annoying.
Is this his co-host? Is that Spencer?
Is it Spencer?
I don't know.
Can you break out just Spencer's words from that?
Come on,
interaction?
Come on.
Did
somebody give him grief?
No, that's what I'm going to say. I agree with what Ben said, but I don't remember anybody giving him grief. I think everybody just pointed out that he was pissed off and short and terse. No one ripped him for it. They just pointed it out.
Well, what part of Ben do you agree with then? Because the whole thing was based on a faulty premise.
If there were people out there that were giving it to him, I would agree with that, but I didn't see it. So maybe I'm missing it too.
I'm trying to think.
I didn't see anyone ripping.
I know that. I think Jerry tweeted everybody he wasn't happy after the game, but that's just a fact.
That's just a fact. That's not ripping him for it.
And I thought it was interesting that he was unhappy after the game because it's the most emotion he's shown since he took over the job.
Yeah, I know. It just...
Fulton, can we hear that again? I thought...
I love that guy going, oh, come on, man.
What's his name again?
Spencer, I think.
Spencer delivered... He delivered
an incredible performance here. He had like Merrill
Hodge on before. Yeah, this episode, he doesn't have anybody else
on. This is just
on.
Spence.
Yep.
Break.
Come on, man.
I like this.
Spence, he calls him.
But again, I'll say this. I'm relishing the fact that Ben weighs in first. I'm relishing the fact that he has some pretty strong opinions, whether I agree with them or not. This is tremendous.
He's always been pretty candid. You know?
And I'm waiting for somebody to ask Tomlin. Preface it with this. Mike, Ben on his podcast said, oh, I'll pay somebody money.
You
to start a question
see
like
the
that.
The eyes roll in the back of his head.
You don't have the clip, though. You don't have the clip about when he was asked about this show.
No, I don't.
Wait, what happened?
Ben said on his radio show.
Yes, I think I asked him that. A lot of people did because every week
he'd say
there was stuff to ask Tomlin.
But this was his answer was tremendous.
If you so can good. Find.
Let us know if you get it, Folsey.
So, yeah, I didn't hear about like somebody. I didn't hear anybody say, "Hey, Mitch was out of bounds with his post game reaction."
Nobody.
I didn't
said
hear.
That.
Maybe
nobody.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's what I said too. Maybe I'm wrong. If somebody did, I would agree with Ben that give the guy a little break if he's ticked off. But I never saw anybody criticize him for it.
Ron, there's a couple of other stories that need to be talked about.
I'm not going to sit up here week in and week out and respond to things that Ben says on his radio show.
You don't think that made our day here, Dan?
Oh,
that
good.
Made our day here.
One more time. And I'm almost positive that I asked the question. I wasn't yet on the radio show. It was Ron and Pony. And I said just that. You know, Ben said on his radio show today that blah, blah, blah wasn't whatever. This was it.
I'm not going to sit up here week in and week out and respond to things that Ben says on his radio show.
That might have even been Vinny back in the day.
It might have been.
Might have been a first year. Vinny did it the first year with me.
I wasn't aware of that piece of trivia. That's unbelievable. Vinny was on the Ben show.
He was.
All right, Ron.
Oh, happy birthday.
No, that's nice.
11:23, Joe.
You're right, 11:23. That gives me goosebumps.
Oh, man, Joe, the best moment of your life.
Literally 14 years ago at this specific second, I think I was freaking out because she didn't yell anything or she didn't cry after she popped out. They had to suction out her mouth, and then she let out the first cry.
Now you need Antonio to wish her a happy anniversary on her birthday.
Yes, exactly. Oh, no. She's texting me. I think she heard this, and she doesn't like it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. She's texting me a lunch order for later. Okay.
This
is what I've become.
Delivery man.
A full grilled cheese, small chicken noodle soup, please. This is what I'm dropping off at school.
You're a DoorDash guy.
DoorDash. That's what I'm doing with her, yes. Thank you for that Folsy.
Yeah.
That was a very nice touch, Maddie.
Wonderful touch. And that was literally, it's incredible. I remember thinking, too, I was telling Ron last break, after she cried, after they cleaned her off, they wrap her in a towel, and they put her on my lap. They were tending to my wife at that point. And the thought in my head was, this is, everything has changed forever. I'm not babysitting here. This person
child.
Is now with me, with us, for the rest of our lives. The rest of our lives. It was an incredible feeling, a little bit daunting, too.
Increnculant.
Increnculant is a good word for it. And when I put her in the car, 2 days later, we got out of the hospital. I've never been so nervous in my life. What am I supposed to do
feeling.
With this thing?
No, the feeling.
What do I do?
I've talked to so
what
many
if I
different
drop her?
People about that.
What if who's going to keep an eye on her in the back seat?
Not only that, when you get her home, yeah. I mean,
oh my God,
hospital people aren't here to help. The
right.
nurses aren't here
oh.
to help. The pressure is on.
She didn't poo for 3 days, too, and I'm sure she's glad that I'm revealing that on the radio.
Oh my God.
And you need to have that first one, Ron, to get the whole thing cranked, right? The whole machine?
We got Shelty coming up here soon.
And when she did, it was like Mardi Gras. We both called our parents. She pooped! What a feeling that was. You wanted to talk about...
Bobby Wagner, for one thing.
The fan on the field. And, Ron, there's also a very interesting situation developing with the batting title in the American League. And whether the guy for the Twins is actually going to play. Let's talk about that coming up, and then we'll get back into Steelers. We got Shelty coming up, and we have Mike Tomlin live at... Wait, when do we have Shelty? 11:40, right?
11:40, yes.
And then we have Tomlin live at noon.
Yes.
With the big reveal, right? You think we're going to get it right off the top?
I don't think so.
I don't know if it'll be off the top, but I think we get it.
It's Cookin' Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Saw last night a fan run onto the field, and Bobby Wagner, Rams linebacker, just lit this dude up. As far as I'm concerned, Ron, you lose every right when you enter a field of play like that. Nobody knows, you know, what your intent is, what you may have on your person. And as far as I'm concerned, if somebody did a Myles Garrett and took a swing at them with his helmet, anything they do is fair game.
I hear you. Bobby Wagner, the number 50, was going to hit him too, and Wagner came up and just drilled the guy. I couldn't agree more. The guy had something smoking on his out of his jacket. I don't know, some sort of smoke coming up. And Wagner goes, I don't know what he has in there. But he made the mistake of getting too close to the sideline where those players were. I couldn't agree more. He got every single thing he deserved. Same thing when James Harrison famously body slammed the guy on Christmas Eve in Cleveland. I think the guy spent the night in Cleveland jail Christmas Eve. And as far as I'm concerned, got everything he deserved. Fans have no business being on the field.
And
none.
Wagner said it. You know, you don't know what that fan's got or what they're doing, what they're carrying in their pockets. And then this one with whatever little smoke stuff that is. But yeah, that crap could be dangerous, he said. Yeah, I mean, he's lucky. The guy's lucky he's not severely injured or worse, because the player would be within his rights to virtually do anything to that
I'm
guy.
I'm with you. And did you see that one of the guys chasing him, I think, tore an ACL or something in his knee? If you look at the clip of him, the guy running across
the security guy,
the security guy goes down in a heap. They think he tore his ACL, and the other two guys were having a hard time catching this idiot, and Bobby Wagner caught him for him. Good for him.
Now we get very quickly to baseball, and we can ask Shelty about this one, because Aaron Judge is shooting for a triple crown, and the part that's in doubt is the batting title. So Luis Arraez from the Twins, he's up 315 to 311 with only a couple games left, right? He has a hamstring injury. Now, Rocco Baldelli, their manager, who I think has worked with Shelty, by
Shelty
the way.
Shelty worked for him,
said, we're aware of history here, but he's got a hamstring injury. The guy, Arraez, says, I want to win. I want to be out there. I want to play every day and earn the batting title. What do you do here, Ron? If a guy's injured, do you send him out there anyway for the sake of history?
I do not.
Do you treat it like a playoff game where if he could possibly play, do you put him on the field?
I don't. If he's hurt, I'm not going to play him. If he's healthy and wants to play, you know, that's the famous Ted Williams story, right? Wasn't Ted Williams at 400 one year?
Yeah.
And played a doubleheader when he didn't have to.
Right.
And ended up going like 6-for-8 in the doubleheader.
Which I respect.
I respect that too. But if a guy's hurt,
yeah,
it's a little different. And it's not his obligation to help Aaron Judge win the triple crown.
I do agree with that.
I mean, Aaron Judge has had 159 games to this point.
Right.
160 to this point. If the guy's hurt, I don't play him. The Yankees were in the news again last night too. Severino, their starting pitcher, 7 almost perfect innings. I think he walked a guy.
Yeah.
Faced 21 batters, 96 pitches. Aaron Boone took him out. But the guy's come. This was only like his first or second start since an arm injury.
Well, ask
Shelty. You save him for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him.
You save the guy from himself. The guy was ticked. You know, you could see when Boone gave him the news, you're coming out, he wasn't happy. Sometimes you got to save these guys from themselves, the way I look at it.
We'll ask Shelty about that next. Tomlin up at noon. Ron, let's go out to the Nemacolin fan hotline. It's time for the final Derek Shelton show of the year. Pirates manager is indeed on the fan hotline, presented by Nemacolin around every corner. Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Shelty, how are you today?
What's going on, guys? How are you today?
We're doing well. This will be our last meeting until April, assuming we do this again. And I have a question off the top here on Luis Ortiz, who was doing great. We've talked about it before. I didn't see any quotes since the game the other night, which it one thing to have a rough start. This seemed like it was disturbing, like something was wrong. Is he injured?
No, he's not injured. He's fine. The other night he had trouble losing it, or he had trouble with his arm slot. He was losing his arm slot, and you know, it was getting down in a position which was causing his command to have some issues, which we saw. But he, you know, he's definitely healthy. You know, it's one of those things that I understand. It's frustrating for him that he had such a good year, but this is a thing that we talked about yesterday. Of you know, when you lose your arm slot in a double-A game or triple-A game, you can get by. When you lose it in a major league game, especially against a really good team, you will see, you know, walks pile up and guys not swinging, and something that he's going to be able to realize from and kind of grow from. But, yeah, he's definitely healthy.
Shelty, the record is what it is, and I know well enough not to get too excited about September baseball, but I have to assume you feel pretty good about the way your team is getting to the finish line.
Very encouraged by how we're getting to the finish line, you know, in a couple of reasons. I think we're still continuing to play hard, and our effort has been good. And, yeah, I think overall September has been very encouraging with some of the things we've seen out of some of our young players. And, you know, it really makes you, look forward to next year with some of the growth these guys have made.
Kevin Newman, a guy you'd like to bring back. He had a great play. Was it last night? Now I can't remember. But he seems like a good, solid player to have around who kind of came back this year with the bat and has a real nice glove.
Yeah, he made a great play last night in the game, and I appreciate you saying that. And that goes to effort. I mean, diving play with a good flip to Rudy that helped get us out of an inning. And, you know, yeah, I would like to see Kevin back with our club next year. And I think the things that, you highlighted there, Stark, are important. He's a really reliable defender, can play both places in the middle. You know, could probably, I mean, I think previously he's played in other spots too, and he could do that. And he had a better year with the bat this year. He came back, rebounded nicely, and is, you know, continued to grow as an offensive player. And I think, like we've talked about, going into next spring training, we're going to need the best 13 guys. And, you know, Kevin kind of fits that bill.
A couple Yankee questions for you, Shelty. I know this is every manager's, not nightmare, but a tough call. Severino pitching seven innings, almost perfect. I think he walked one, faced 21 guys. Aaron Boone took him out. I guess he's coming off an arm injury, and he got the playoffs ahead. That's a tough call for a manager, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't envy the place that Booney was at yesterday. Well, you do envy the fact you get seven no-hit. Seven no-hit usually means seven shutouts, so you're in a pretty good spot. But, you know, I think in the long run with where Severino's been this year and coming off the injury, it's hard not to make sure that guy's healthy going into the playoffs, pitching that well. And I realize that, you know, I think from what I saw last night, he was at 74 through 7, so he's not going to finish it with where he's at anyway. So challenging, but, you know, overall, you got to trust the manager that knows his personnel.
The other situation involves your old team, the Twins. They have a guy who has a hamstring injury, yet is leading for the batting title by a few points over Aaron Judge, who's trying for a triple crown. And I guess the kid said, I want to play. And your old friend Rocco saying, you know what, if he's not healthy, he's not healthy. That's another situation for a manager, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a definite dilemma. And, you know, I know from being around Louis Arraez, he wants to play every day, regardless of how he feels. The one thing that I think the Twins have had more injured days of anybody in baseball this year. And if this injury is keeping Louis out, then it's got to be to the point where it's fairly significant. And my guess would be, and I have not talked to Rocco about this, but my guess would be, you know, they're probably concerned about some long-term, you know, that he hurts it worse and then he misses time going into the offseason for his offseason training program. But knowing Louis Arraez, it does not surprise me that he wants to play.
Aside from that, a hypothetical question, because I hear you on Arraez. What if you had a guy who had a batting title sewn up? The batting title was sewn up and he just wanted to sit the last game. Would you defend that or would you prefer that he played?
Well, are we talking the game has no consequence of the season, right?
No, only consequence to the batting title, yep.
No. So is the question like if he goes 0 for 5, he loses the batting title?
Could, yeah. Like Ron brought up the great Ted Williams example. What was that, Ron?
Hitting, when he went 4 for 6 in the doubleheader.
Hitting 400 going into a doubleheader, and he says, damn, I want to play, and he went 4 for 6.
Yeah, that story. My hope would be our guys would want to play. I would want to play a guy because I think you know, if you're fighting for something like that, it's a full 162, man. And I think you go head-to-head with it and go that way.
Ron?
All right. The playoffs start next week. Who do you like? Who do you like coming out of the National League? You've seen everybody. Who do you like?
Oof, that's tough. I'm gonna be hard-pressed to say that Atlanta, the way they're playing right now, is going to be hard. I don't know where they're at health-wise with their pitchers. You know, but I'm watching a little bit of that series this weekend against the Mets, man. Number one, they're really good. And number two, that atmosphere is pretty electric right now. And they're extremely athletic. So, you know, when you have that kind of athleticism, you can create runs in a bunch of different ways. So I guess if I was going to have to go right now, I would probably go Atlanta.
You know, it's fascinating, Shelty, that, I mean, these teams, the Dodgers, look how many games they've won this year. And I look at the Mets, and I think if you're starting off with DeGrom and Scherzer, you're in a pretty good spot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you got two number ones right there. I know, you know, DeGrom's health has been in question a little bit as of late, so I don't know where that's at. Their starting pitching is really good. You know, Bassett's pitched well, Carrasco's pitched well also. for them this year. They're going to be, you know, especially in a three-game, if they get in a three-game series situation, they're going to be extremely tough, man. The National League is loaded this year.
How about the American League? Who do you like coming out of there?
I don't know. I mean, it's I personally don't have a clear favorite there. You know, I have not seen Houston enough. I mean, they have, what, 102 wins to know, you know, where they're at. But, I mean, you get Verlander in a short season. I mean, this guy seems to be ageless. He's 40 years old, and he's got, what, a 1.8 ERA, which is amazing. But I don't have a good enough feel in the American League. Just don't watch it as much as – or pay attention to it as much as I do the National League. I mean, who do you guys like there?
Hard to go against the Yankees.
Yes.
But Astros, for me, too, are just dynamic.
I'll be rooting for the Guardians, as will Ron, because he's buddies with Francona,
yeah,
right?
I've known Terry Francona for 45 years. And how about the job he did with that team this year?
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, this guy's got to go down as one of the best managers in the history. I think he's a Hall of Famer. That's my personal opinion. I am, you know, biased because, like you said, I have not known Tito as long as you. Their pitching coach is one of my closest friends, Carl Willis. You know, worked with him in Cleveland, but they've done an unbelievable job there. And I think, you know, hats goes off to Tito, and they're an easy team to root for, you know, just because of those two guys.
Shelty, it's been very enjoyable, just like last year. And hopefully you and I and Ron and Folsey will reunite next April.
I can't wait. You guys have a great offseason.
Are you going to have a goodbye with Folsey here? I know you two bonded late in the year.
Yeah, we did. I haven't met Folsey yet. So, I mean, it started with Horace. Now we're at Folsey. But, I'm looking forward. Folsey needs to make sure he's out there opening day, right? So I can get a handshake.
Yeah, I mean, if Folsey has a kid, then Horace will have a grand Folsey. Or he'll be a grand Folsey, right? This is getting very exciting here, Shelty, as we move on.
It's getting very confusing for me, if that's the case.
Thanks again for everything.
Yeah, look, stay well. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's the Derek Shelton Show for another year. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Time right now is 11:52. Time to call Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. And you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Mike Tomlin. Up next, will he say right off the top who his quarterback's going to be? We all think it's going to be Kenny Pickett, but there's a little bit of suspense. And plus, I want to hear everything that the coach has to say. That's next on Cook and Joe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.